week. Happy New Year! I hope that you've had a great holiday season. We have. It's been an interesting holiday season. Thank you for all of those who have been filling in for me. I feel like I haven't seen you in a while, especially consistently. It's just been one thing after another, whether it's family or if it's being sick. I had some stomach bug twice this season now, and it's been awful. So I'm very thankful to be back among the living. Thank you, Ed, for filling in last week. And all of that. It's a really interesting time of year. I don't know if you're like me, but I keep finding myself with the sniffles and some congestion and things like that. Yes, I know it's the season of COVID, right? So some of it's that, but most of it is probably just because one night we fall asleep and it's 75 degrees and the next night or morning we wake up and it's 20, you know? But it is still a good year, and I'm excited for it. And here's what I believe. This is a statement that I've said for a long time. My father-in-law actually is the one who said this first, and he would say it at the camp that I was a part of for 4 or 5 years. And honestly, it would come from him probably once a week. I would hear this statement, and I think it's very true, especially when I think of the new year. He would say, "The best is yet to come." I would like you to say that. The best is yet to come. And I believe that for many, many reasons. And I think that that is actually a statement that will be true for you and I until we reach eternity. Amen. But it's also true because of the statement that I said many times before. I've read the back of the book, and guess what? We win. And because of that, we can praise and we can worship God for another year. So no matter what your circumstances are, right? You see, notice, we don't praise and worship God because of the circumstances we're facing. We praise and we worship God because the best is yet to come. And so no matter your circumstance, his praise and his worship, the worship to him, supersedes our circumstances. And I think that's an amazing thing. So I hope as you head into this new year, that you don't just wander into it without vision, okay? And that's what I want to speak to you about. Don't just wander into this new year without some vision. You need to take some time and think about where you are going, right? Because if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to know how you're progressing. And listen to me, you'll never know when you get there. Does that make sense? Right? So goals need to be set out at the beginning, because if you don't have goals that are obtainable, then the motivation to move and progress and to grow and to change, all of that's depleted if I don't have some goals set. You agree with that? And so, this is how we should operate. And I'm not just talking about spiritual, although of course I am, but not just spiritually. You should do this in every aspect of your life. You should do this in your jobs. You should do this with your families, in parenting, schooling, health, in all of these things. You should have a plan and you should set some goals. So if we want to succeed, then we have to have the foresight to set a goal. And then you also have to come up with the steps that it's going to take to reach that goal. Now, as I was thinking about this, I thought about a GPS, right? I mean, a GPS is only beneficial when you plug in two very vital, important pieces of information. The first is where I am. And the next is, and if I don't plug in where I'm at, and if I don't plug in where I'm going, then I won't arrive at where I need to be, right? I may have a map and I may be going somewhere, but the map can't tell me where to go because it doesn't know where I am and it doesn't know where I need to be. And if you have one but not the other, you still won't arrive at where you need to be. It's important for you in this new year to measure where you are spiritually and where you're going in your faith. And if you don't have a plan of who you want to become and how you want to get there or where you are, if you don't know those things, then you're not going to see the growth that you want to see. And by the way, growth is very important for us here at Leander Church, right? Like, that's why it's made it as our vision statement. And I always love to remind you that you are the ones who work together as a church family to come up with this. And so this is the identity that you want to have. The Leander Church seeks. The Leander Church of Christ seeks That's a very important word. We seek, we're yearning for, we're looking for, we're going towards. Like you've set that as your destination. We are seeking to be who? A people shaped into the image of Jesus Christ through all those different ways. And so it's important to know where we are and to know where we're going. But don't just take my word for it. Listen to what the Bible says about the importance of being prepared and the importance of setting goals and knowing where you're going. Proverbs 21 and verse 5 says this: "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." That one hits me a little bit. I'm often very hasty, right? I'm the kind of guy that's, shoot first, aim later kind of a thing. That describes my life oftentimes. But this says, no. Plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Luke 14, verse 28, you remember this story, this parable that Jesus was talking about. See, Jesus in his own ministry used many parables and stories and scriptures of this concept. And this says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. What are you going to do first? You're going to sit down, he says, first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it. What was really interesting is when I read this, and I lived in Louisiana, there was a road in Louisiana that a lot of restaurants and things were on, and there was one particular house that was on that road that was being built. And it was, when I say a house, I mean it was like a castle. I mean, the thing was huge, okay? And it was a stone fence, and this stone house was being built, and it was beautiful, but it was never completed. And for every time we would drive down, we would go out to eat, you know, we'd always end up passing by this house. And because it was in such a central location, a lot of people would look and they would see this house. And the story around town was that this person started it and had his job had gotten him a lot of money. And then he went ahead and started to build this house, seeing that the income would keep coming, and then ended up losing that job, and the house never got completed. And for the 4 or 5 years that it was there, it was never finished. It was always halfway completed, right? And so what Jesus is saying, if you're going to build a house, if you're planning to go somewhere, you first have to sit down and decide, what is it going to take to get there? How can I be prepared for it? This is a biblical concept, folks. Proverbs 19 and verse 2 is perhaps my favorite because it's the one that steps on my toes the most. It says, desire without knowledge. So desire, you can substitute passion or zeal or I desire, I want this, right? But if you have that passion, that's a great thing. You should have that passion. But if you have that passion without knowledge, it says, it is not good. Having that desire, but not having a plan or not having knowledge is not good. And whoever makes haste with his feet will miss his way. In other words, listen, we need a game plan for our life. And that's why I think, and listen to me, I think New Year's resolutions are a very healthy thing to do. Okay? And here's what I'm asking you. Please do them this year. Please do them, and please have your kids do them. I think they're very good. Now, a lot of people are upset because you're going, well, wait a second, New Year shouldn't be the only time that we do these, and I couldn't agree with you more, right? I don't like the fact that we wait until New Year's and then try to say, now I'm going to make a change, and then, oops, 2 weeks into it, I didn't keep my New Year's resolution, so I'll just have to wait until next year to try again. That is not the healthy way to do a resolution, folks, right? But doing these is very healthy, and you should sit down, and you should do this often, and you should examine your path as a child of God. You should examine your path as a family. You should examine your path as parents. We're in a relationship, married with each other. Where is our marriage going? What's our plan in our marriage? What's our plan in our family? What's our plan in raising our kids? What's our destination in our faith? And folks, we should also do this in each of our ministries here at Leander Church. I mean, we have a lot of ministries to offer, and there's a lot of moving parts here in our church, isn't there? There's a lot of things that are going on. So many that, by the way, if you're trying to be involved in every one of them, you're never going to be able to give yourself fully to any of them, right? And that's just the truth of what is going on here. And that's a great thing. God is doing a lot of different things here at Leander, and he's moving powerfully. But here's the deal. In each of our ministries, we should sit down and do the same thing. Where am I going? What are we doing? Right? Where are we? Where are we going? And how do we get there? And so even as ministry leaders, I encourage you, make resolutions for your ministry. Right? We have different ministries. We have youth ministry, family ministry, connect groups, food pantry, clothes closet, celebrate recovery, eldership, ministry staff, worship ministry, greeting ministry, children's ministry. I mean, we have so many different things that we do, and that was just to name a few that I rattled off as I was preparing this lesson. But we have so many different things. So if you're a ministry leader, then I'm not saying you go sit down by yourself and say, where do I want it to be? I'm encouraging you to get your team together, and y'all sit down together as a team and say, where are we, and where do we want to be, and how can we get there? This is a very healthy conversation to have. Do you agree? Are you awake?
Yes.
Okay. So I encourage you, sit down and write out your resolutions this year. So speaking of resolutions. Speaking of resolutions, how many of you have ever made a resolution, and be honest, God knows, how many of you have made a resolution that you didn't keep? Okay, that is as close to 100% as you've ever given me in this room before, right? I think the only thing that might have beat that is how many of you love Jesus Christ, right? Like, so I appreciate the honesty. I could raise both hands, right? It feels like I do this every year, okay? Let me ask you this question. How many of you were very eager to make a resolution one year? And then when it failed, you went back to that resolution the next year and tried a simpler version of it. Let me see your hands. Y'all aren't as proud of that one. All right. Okay. Yeah, no, that's me, you know. And listen, this is how it happens, right? Like, my resolution will be, you know, I want to get in shape and I want to get healthy. And so I'm going to work out every day. And then, you know, a month goes by and maybe that doesn't happen, right? And so next year, okay, I'm going to work out 3 times a week. And then that doesn't happen. So then the next year it's like, well, I'm just going to do 20 push-ups a day at home, right? And soon it's like, I'm going to be curling, you know, 1.5-pound weights once a week, you know? And soon here's what happens is we negotiate ourselves to a place where even if we accomplish it, there's not really going to be that much change. So let me tell you something. You can look at it either way. Maybe it's good news, maybe it's not good news, but here's my challenge for you this morning. Listen, I am challenging you as you make your New Year's resolution to go back to the resolution that you wanted but weren't able to complete and make that one your resolution this year. Just because you failed it is the exact reason that I think it should be the resolution that you make. That's why I've titled this lesson, listen to me, A New Year, An Old Resolution, and A New You. Because that's what I think can happen this year. A lot will be new, hopefully, but I'm encouraging you to have an old resolution. And so if you take this challenge and if you work on this, and if you set this as your goal, here's what you need to be ready for. You need to be ready for a lot of new stuff this year to happen in your life. A whole lot of newness. In fact, a new you. And so here's the question that you have to ask yourself right now as you're sitting here. Am I ready? Am I ready? Because listen, it's not going to be easy. And you know that, right? We all know that because we've all failed at resolutions before. And so we know it's not going to be easy. But a lot of people have bought into this lie of Christianity called the prosperity gospel. It's the idea that Christianity was supposed to be easy. But Christ never promised you an easy road, right? Faith should be anything but easy. If your faith is easy, then I would question your faith. And so let me tell you something. Resolutions are hard. You know why? Because change is hard. Transformation is hard. And again, this is also a biblical concept. Listen to 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, where God says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come." What are these? The trials. "These have come so that your faith," and then in parentheses, "of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by hugs and kisses, it's refined by fire, so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever remodeled your house before? Let me see your hands. Remodeling is something we go through. And the first step to remodeling is to remove or to mess up or tear out all of the old things in order to make room for the new. It's a messy process, and it often is so intense that some of you, probably when you were remodeling, you couldn't even stay in your own home while it was being remodeled because of the dust and the nails flying around everywhere and the mess that was created. It even forced you to possibly stay somewhere else until that demolition process was done, right? But the tearing out of the old stuff is perhaps the most important step of remodeling, because it's the first step of newness. Avery and I got a couple of years ago, 3 years ago or so, or maybe it was four now, but we got her parents' old kitchen table. And it was a kitchen table that they had had for many, many years, and we had sat around that table, you know, through our whole relationship. I remember sitting around that table, and they were ready to get a new table because the family was growing, and so they needed more space, and so they wanted to get rid of it. And we said, no, we'll take it. But it was old and chipped, and the finish on it was just not good. It didn't match anything. And so guess what we did? We went out, and we started to sand this thing down. Right. And so we got this really coarse sandpaper. This is the first time I had ever experienced anything like this. And we just started to sand this thing down over and over again, back and forth, tearing off and ripping up that old varnish. Right. And we're just sanding. And by the way, the hardest part is the legs of the table. Right. The surface on top was the easy part. All the nooks and crannies and all that stuff. That was where it really got tough. But you sand it and you sand it. And that took us days to get this process done. And it was messy and it hurt and it was hard. And I'm sure it was hard on the table. Right. The putting on the finish at the end, that was the easy part. The newness, that was easy. It was, the messy part was getting up all of the old stuff to make way for the newness that the table went through. And that table is still in our kitchen, and it's beautiful. And you would have never thought, if you had seen that table previously, I wish I should have gotten some pictures and shown y'all. If you had seen the table previously, you never would have thought that it was the same table that it is now, because of the transformation that it underwent. But in order for it to be transformed, it first had to strip away all the old and all the junk of the past. This is why resolutions, this is why transformation, this is why seeking to be a people shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. This word shaping, this is difficult. That word right there, if we could just remove that from the vision statement, it would be a whole lot easier. But being shaped, being molded, being crafted, being sanded, you substitute what you want, refined by fire, it's not an easy process. It's no prosperity gospel, let me put it that way. Yet, if I was to look, even though it's the same old wood of that table, even I look at that table now and I said, man, it's new. It's new. And that, listen to me, that's what God desires for you this year. newness in your life. And it can happen even in some of the most worn out places of your life, some of the most beat down and broken places in your life. God can strip that away and make you new this year, but you still have a job to do. You don't just sit there and say, God, make it happen for me. You pray and say, God, use me, help me, guide me, give me your strength as I set these goals and make these resolutions and walk and take the steps necessary to become who you want me to become. Ultimately, it will happen through his power, but not without your feet moving forward. Does it make sense? And so God desires newness for you. I started to look at that word, newness. Right? As my sermon was a new year, an old resolution, a new you, I wanted to look at this concept of newness. And this topic is spoken of throughout Scripture over and over and over again. I was overwhelmed with the amount of Scriptures on newness. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Right, what does it sound like? It's the remodel process. Get rid of the old to make way for the new. He says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Ezekiel 36, 26, listen to this one. I loved this passage. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be made clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols, and I will give you a new heart. Any of you want a new heart this year? I will give you a new heart, God says, and I will give you a new spirit within you. Isn't that amazing? It's a beautiful promise, this newness. And then the most popular and favorite, I'm sure by most, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And this is so powerful. Listen to me. That's what Christ died for. Jesus died for newness. Jesus, listen. He did not die to save you from your sins. Jesus died to change you. And a part of that change, perhaps the biggest part of that change, is to save you from your sins. Yes. But that is not the totality of what Jesus was doing when he went to the cross. If that was the case, then why are you still here when you've been baptized into him? You see, if Jesus only died to save you of your sins, then you would not be sitting here. He would have zapped you straight up to heaven and taken you there because you've completed the goal and you finished the race. But you have not completed the goal and you have not finished the race because Jesus wants more for you than just your forgiveness. Jesus wants your newness. Jesus wants you to change. Jesus wants you to be transformed. He wants you to live a new life. And he says this life is to be lived with the full, right? Jesus has a plan for you, and forgiveness is a huge part of it, an amazing part of it, and it's what we praise Jesus for each Sunday, but we praise him for more than just that, because he says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to send my spirit to live within you. You see, Jesus' work on the cross began this process of newness, and the Spirit's here to complete it within you. See, that's the beauty of the gospel. That's what Jesus died for. You know, can I take this a step further? I mean, when I was studying this, I thought of this a brand new way. Let me give you the illustration that popped into my mind. One of my favorite animals, or I guess bugs, more like it, creatures, how about that? One of my favorite creatures on planet Earth is the caterpillar. Right? And like, if you just look at the caterpillar by itself, it's probably one of the most unimpressive creatures on the planet. Like, there's nothing special about it. It's completely unimpressive. But the caterpillar is not known for the caterpillar that it is at the beginning. The caterpillar is known for the butterfly it becomes at the end. That's what makes it so special. It's the process of transformation that makes this creature unique and special and cherished. But did you know that the caterpillar's ability and the strength to fly is formed through the breaking out of the cocoon? So like if some innocent bystander, probably myself, because I was always that kid that had that kind of a heart, you know? I was one of those like, you know, I'm not the, I want to go shoot it all kid. I was the like, oh, I want to save it, you know? You know, and that's just me. And so I would have been the kid that wants to walk by and see this struggle going on with this caterpillar and seeing how hard it's having to work and go, I want to set you free. Like, it's okay. And open up the cocoon for it and let it out and set it free. But it's through the struggle that the caterpillar finds the strength to be able to fly and to experience the newness that it's never experienced before. And if we were to go and to set it free from its struggle and to remove it from the pain, then it would never experience the newness of flight. And folks, the same thing is true for us. If you want to see newness in your life, then you can't just continue to wish that God would just take you out of your struggle and remove you from your circumstance. That's why Jesus never promised that bad things wouldn't happen to good people. Jesus promised, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Jesus promised that when you're going through the flames, I will be there with you, right? He doesn't say, I'll remove you. I will step into the fire with you. Because it's through your pain, it's through the struggle that you find the strength to be transformed. It's through the struggle that you find newness. You want this to be a year like never before? Are you ready for new? Are you tired of living the same old you? Then you're going to have to work through the struggle. You see, that's why you shouldn't strive for an easy resolution this year. By the way, before I prepared this sermon, I had an easy resolution. So I'm preaching myself. I had to go back and change my own resolutions, right? Because I realized, no, that's exactly what I did. So I wrote this lesson for myself because of my list of resolutions. And I said, you know what? No, that's not who God wants me to be, right? And so I'm not telling you to take a challenge that I'm not willing to take myself. But easy resolutions lead to the same old you, but the greatest opportunities for change come through your greatest adversities in life. And if you don't believe me, listen to what James says. James 2, verses 2 through 4. I love this passage. Many of you do too. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face various trials. I mean, that just sounds crazy. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that it's the testing of your faith that develops perseverance. You want newness? It takes testing. It takes trials. And not just of one kind, but of many kinds. But perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If you want to develop, if you want to be mature, if you want to be complete, it comes through trials. Isaiah 48, 10 and 11, see this, listen. God literally defines, let me read it first. He says, see, I have refined you, not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. He literally labels and defines the furnace of transformation for me and you. And he says it's the furnace of affliction. Jesus wants to shape you. The word we just used is refine you, change you, transform you, mold you. You substitute whatever word you want here. It's not going to be easy because that takes place, that word takes place in a furnace called affliction. That's what Scripture is teaching you. See, easy resolutions aren't going to do it. It's this furnace of affliction. So listen to where my logic led me. You see, if Jesus died to change you, and forgiveness was a part of that, but we shortchange the gospel if we just say, well, Jesus died to forgive. By the way, I'm not upset when you say that statement. You're going to continue to say that. Jesus did die to forgive us of our sins, right? But if that's what we only say and we never get to this part, we're shortchanging the gospel. Jesus died for much more than that. Right? And change is a part of that. Change and newness is what he died for. And if that's true, and change happens where? Where does this changing or shaping or molding happen? In the furnace of affliction. Then it's fair to say that Christ died for you to experience affliction. You see how my logic led me to this place? Christ died for you to suffer. So it's not something you've ever heard before, and it's not something I had ever thought before, but it makes it no less true. Right? And when the world hears these kinds of concepts, they go, that's crazy. That's insane. That's unsensical. That doesn't make sense. That's just not right. Who dies for someone they love so that they can suffer? But that's what our God did. That's why Jesus says, I considered it pure joy, or who for the joy set before him endured the cross in Hebrews, right? How can Jesus enjoy the cross? How can he find joy there? Because it's through the suffering that transformation happens. And Jesus knew, I am going through a process to create newness, not just in myself, but newness for the entire planet, for all of mankind. Jesus died for our newness. You see, Jesus died for our newness, therefore he died for our affliction. But he says, in the midst of that affliction, I'll be with you. And I'll give you the strength you need to overcome. But through the process and through your struggle, you will be transformed. Listen, I wish, you know, New Year's, it's one of those times where you're like, man, you want a feel-good message. And this one is maybe not so much that, right? I get it. It's hard and it's tough. And a lesson that says, well, he'll just deliver you from is a lot easier than a message that says he'll be with you in. So transformation is hard. But that's okay, because it's meant to be that way. That's how God has designed this. So, listen, if you want to grow like never before, then you're going to have to hurt like never before this year. Okay? And so when I say, are you ready? That's, I told you earlier, you have to ask yourself the question, are you ready? And that question means, if you want to grow like never before, you've got to be prepared to hurt like never before. So if you want to lose weight, if that is the resolution that you're going to go for, then you're going to have to push through the hunger pains that are going to follow. If you want to get in shape, you're going to have to be more sore than you've possibly ever been. If you want to make better grades, you're going to have to go through the difficulty of studying for those. If you want to learn to play guitar, then you're going to have to play enough through the pain until you finally develop calluses to be able to play. Right? We do this in the big things and small things in life, because if you want to grow, you're going to have to hurt. It's just part of it. So if you want to quit smoking, you're going to have to go through the pain of withdrawals. If you want to save money, if that's your resolution, then you're going to have to learn the pain of saying no, where you usually say yes. If you want to declutter and to get organized in places that have been so messy, then you're going to have to push through the pain of letting go. And yes, that may include some things you consider sentimental. If you want to grow like never before, you're going to have to hurt like never before. But as painful as this process is, are you ready for some good news this morning? As painful as the process may be, Christ died for this process to make you new. And the end result of newness is always worth the pain in the moment. Can I say that again? The end result of newness is always worth the pain of the moment. I don't know anybody who lost weight and said, well, it just wasn't worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know anybody who went to the gym and worked out and pushed through all of that, and now they look better and they feel better, but they say, you shouldn't do what I did. Like, if you go step foot into Planet Fitness, they're all arrogant, okay? Because it's worked for them and they're proud of it, right? I'm kidding about the arrogance part. But they're proud of it, right? Like, I don't know anybody who's ever gone through the pains of quitting an addiction and finally finding freedom over an addiction, and they say, you know what, man, I wish I was still an alcoholic. We don't do that because The newness at the end is always worth the pain in the moment. Always. And that's a guarantee. It will be worth it if you push through it. So, do you know where you're going? I guess the first step is, do you know where you are? The second is, do you know where you're going? Because you, like your GPS, you're not going to be able to arrive until you know those things. So if you don't know the answer to those questions, then that's your challenge. Okay? Everybody in here is probably going to take a different challenge this morning. Some of you are going to take this one. If you don't know where you are in your faith, if you haven't stopped to reflect, if you're just going through the motions of your spiritual journey, then that's your challenge. You need to find out where you are, and you need to find out where you're going, and you need to put some steps down to figure out how to get there. Next is this, and this will be a group of many of you. Hopefully all of you will walk this process completely, but some of you, this is where you're at. Are you ready? Are you ready to experience the pain and the affliction of being shaped and of being changed? Because it's hard and it's tough. Newness only comes through the first furnace of adversity. And lastly, here's the last group. Are you committed? You might be ready and you might know where you want to go and you can start that journey, but will you be committed to finish it through the end? I thought about this story of a little girl who was sitting in church service, and it got to the time for the offering, and the collection plate comes by, and she's on the end of the row, and she takes the collection plate and she sets it down on the ground in the aisle, and she stands in the plate. And the usher looks at her and he says, honey, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm just trying to do what my Sunday school teacher said, because they taught me in Sunday school that my whole body was to be offered to the Savior. You know, we chuckle about that and it's cute, but in reality, that little girl understood something that we often miss. Right? I love the innocence of children. She understood commitment to Jesus Christ is an offering of both all that I am and all that I have. I will give you my possessions and I will give you my life. It's an offering of all of me. And so if you want to be made new through Jesus Christ this year, then you need to commit to following through to Him with every fiber of your being. You see, our culture doesn't understand commitment on the level that Jesus is preaching commitment. It's time to shift that this year. Are you ready? And are you committed? And by the way, here's the good news. You can know that even when you fail, because you will fail and you will mess up, that's also a part of living in this world. But you can have the confidence and assurance to know that you already have the love and forgiveness of a Savior who died for your newness. And He's with you in that furnace as you continue to be shaped. So how do you apply this commitment to Christ to your old resolutions? Here's what I want. Don't just set a resolution. Make sure to bring God into that resolution. This is where I want to end. Start with God before you ever begin to attempt to live out what you put down for your resolution, okay? Whatever you want to accomplish, make sure that your relationship with Jesus is number one of where you want to grow most of all. Don't just say, here's how this looks. Don't just say, I want to lose weight. Rather say, God, teach me self-control as I lose weight with you. Right? Don't just say, I want to journal every night. Say, God, teach me consistency as I journal each night with you. You see what I'm saying here? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. He doesn't say, seek first all these things, and then God will be added unto you. You seek first Him, and then everything else will fall into place. And so you will never reach this newness that we've talked about this morning. It will not be a new you in this new year if you don't seek Him first in your life. So first on your list, Jesus. And then you start to think about what's next in my transformation process. You ever buttoned up your shirt and you look down? It's probably one of the most frustrating things on the planet, right? You button up your shirt and you look down and then your shirt's all like out of line. and you realize that you didn't line the buttons up right, and so then you have to go through the horrible process of unbuttoning everything and then buttoning it all back again. You know how to solve that, right? You start at the top button. Because when you start at the top button, everything else lines up on its own. Everything else just falls into place. And the same thing is true spiritually. Start at the top. God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added to you. And so listen, I hope that this new year, that you will find what you may not have found before. A new year, an old resolution, and a new you. The lesson's yours. Think about it. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.